Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Maybe I'll start actually by congratulating Switzerland, and I just see on the 70th anniversary of Geneva Conventions, it was indeed a fantastic achievement at the time. Humanity hadn't really produced document of that quality and with that detail to protect civilians and non-combatants in war ever before, and we still celebrate that achievement. I now lead an organization of with 14,000 field workers, and we are, like all of the other organizations here, completely dependent on humanitarian law being respected. If it is not, our field workers are doomed, and so are the people we try to serve. I think at this occasion is a good one to discuss what do we do, given that we all know of these phenomenal violations of the humanitarian law, and especially of the singular most, the biggest achievement, in my view, that happened 70 years ago. We got the convention to protect the civilian population on the ruins of the Second World War, after Holocaust, after what happened in the Soviet Union and in China, where millions were massacred by armed men. Now, the first thing is what I think Helen also alluded to. It is wrong when people say it doesn't work, it's hopeless, the new types of wars does not apply, etc. I hear that too often. I think that's associated with too many humanitarians do not know the law. They haven't studied. They hadn't taken their induction course, really. And they haven't a leadership that is really saying, this is the basis for humanitarian work. It's from where the humanitarian principles also come, that Jean Pictet, whom I had the pleasure to study with in Geneva nearly 40 years ago, distilled. This is what we do as humanitarians, is to apply humanitarian principles that come from humanitarian law. Now, we also have too few governments, champions now, on the actual application of that in real conflicts, that go after those who are responsible, read the law to them, investigate what's happening, hold people accountable, and also see that they themselves are not part of this. However, humanitarian law is more often respected than it is not still in armed conflict, happens in most places where we are active. There is more respect still than non-respect. What we have to do together is lift the bar further. So, last week I was in southern Ethiopia, in a place called Gedio. Ethiopia was the country on earth that had the highest number of people displaced by violence last year, according to the figures we just issued, UNHCR, with the help of IDMC and NRC. What happens in Gedio? Well, the Gedio tribe and the Gucci tribe, who most haven't heard of, had armed men on both sides that went after civilian population massively. Hundreds of thousands were displaced. Thousands were massacred. I met people who had their hands cut off. An old grandmother saying, this is the photo of my son. He was killed, and I saw my house torched to the ground, and people I knew looted my property. So, of course, it's more difficult to apply the humanitarian law of armed conflict in that kind of situation with the Gedios and the Gucci's, and there is no government behind any of this. It's more difficult than to apply it in an international armed conflict where there are two accountable governments behind it. But it's not impossible. I've never ever met a local militia leader or political leaders who said, I'm fine with going after women and children. Never, ever. The problem is that they have a problem in admitting this, then it's our job to prove that it is happening. So ending just by saying, what we need to do is look at the tools we have at hand. First, I think advocacy has to be better. There is an army of so-called advocates now who have as their main job in telling that it's really bad out there and somebody should be doing something. I think we have to be much more strategic. Who bombs? Who provided the arms? Who were behind and funded those who did what they did? Who are responsible in all of their offices and going around with Thai or military uniform for this? And then expose that and follow that up. And then finally also tools like deconfliction. Notification is the tools we have. They've been there since before 1949. We have, as humanitarians, to provide information on what we're doing and hold military and political leaders responsible for our protection and the protection of the civilians, including hospitals and schools. And then it's the job of member states and us as UN and other humanitarians to follow up any violations of deconfliction, of notification. If we don't do that, we will be lost in the future. So that the instruments exist, we need to use them. Thank you.
Thank you very much.